Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, my name is Stuart Miles and welcome to the Apocalypse Podcast. If you're hankering for a BlackBerry to make a comeback, then this is your week. No, seriously. A new 5G BlackBerry device with a physical keyboard is coming at the start of 2021. And Apocalypse Cam Bunton is here with all the details we know so far. Meanwhile, I talked to the founder of Astrocracy London on how the traditional suit company has turned to technology to make sure our next suit from them fits. And Mike Lowe is here to give us his verdict on the new Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra. Is this the smartphone to get this summer? But first, stop the presses, Cam. Yeah. Let's talk BlackBerry. They're back. How is this possible?
I don't know. I think it's excitement. I think, how is it possible? Well, technically speaking, there's a company called Onward Mobility, which none of us has ever heard from or of until yesterday, has won the license to build BlackBerry devices, is essentially the story. And they're going to be working with a subsidiary of Foxconn, who builds iPhones and all manner of other consumer electronics to make them. So we're going to see BlackBerry phones next year again.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, let's talk about Onward Mobility just briefly. Do we know anything about them? Have they got any track record? Is this really just a bunch of BlackBerry fans saying, please let us make them?
It feels a little bit like that. I was looking at their site yesterday to just try and get a sense of who they are, where they've come from, and what they do and what they've done previously. And it very much seems like it's a company that started purely so they could make BlackBerry phones. That's the only thing that's mentioned on their site so far. And it seems to be a bunch of people who have worked with other companies like Microsoft before. And so they have a history of working with devices and they know devices. And obviously, these are basically BlackBerry fans who have enough money to start a company, it seems like. I could be completely wrong, but there's not a lot of detail out there about them. I'm sure we'll find out more as time goes on.
Now, the question is, do we need a BlackBerry in 2021, or has it had its day? I mean, both you and I have used BlackBerries in the past. We've covered the industry for long enough. You know, I remember seeing my first BlackBerry in about, I want to say 99, 2000, probably even 98, maybe. I was in Charles de Gaulle Airport. I remember it vividly, and this dude, I think he was a venture capitalist, that was just sat there in waiting for his plane, and I was waiting, and he was like using this device. I was like, "What is this?" And he's like, "I can get my emails on the go." And I was like, "That's amazing." So, do we think that? I mean, but like, you can do that now.
Yeah, you can do it. I mean, it's different, isn't it? At different times when BlackBerry was really popular, they really did offer something very, very different to what everyone else was doing, because there were companies making smartphones, but the user interface was maybe a bit slow and things just seemed to take ages. Whereas BlackBerry just seemed to do things really reliably and quickly, and you could get your emails anywhere in the world because BlackBerry had its own sort of server and network that was tied to your device and your email service, and it was just really, really quick and convenient. And then obviously they had the physical keyboard, which was probably the best physical keyboard that was ever on any phone ever. So they had a lot going for it, but then obviously the all touchscreen smartphones started coming in and they failed to adapt, and they gradually lost relevance because a lot of that cool stuff was much cooler on a big flat screen.
I mean, that was one of the problems I always hear. I had a Curve, not even a 3G version, just the original Curve. And it was fantastic for messaging. Like, remember BlackBerry Messenger?
Yeah.
And, you know, emails and all that other kind of stuff. But as soon as you decided to go on the web, it just became like really slow.
That's true. And I remember as well, they actually brought out, my first device was the Pearl. And I remember they brought different serial numbers of the Pearl out because some of them had maps on them and some of them didn't. And some of them had Wi-Fi on them and some of them didn't. And so you had to kind of choose which one you wanted. And like you say, like the maps and the web was just, it was just slow and it wasn't a very good experience. So once the iPhone and Android phones came out with really good browsers and apps, then BlackBerry was kind of on the back foot.
So what do we think? Like, let's spitball here for 2 minutes. What do we, if they're going to bring it back, do you want it to be the Pearl? Do you want it to be the Curve? Do you want it to be the Bold? What, or is it going to be something completely different? Or is it more a modern one like the Passport or something?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, they're going to run Android. So I'd be surprised, because obviously we've had Android BlackBerry phones for the past few years. And they, we had the Key 1 and the Key 2, which sort of brought that classic BlackBerry look, but they run Android operating system. So you've got all your access to all your apps, but you've still got your keyboard. And I still, part of me still thinks that does serve the person who wants a BlackBerry, who wants that physical keyboard, but without losing anything in terms of apps and services. But I think that's a market that's very, very small now compared to what it used to be. Because obviously a touchscreen keyboard is still going to be more versatile because it's only there when you need it. It's not getting in the way.
Yeah, because there aren't any, I mean, there aren't really any Android devices, that the smartphones that have a keyboard. You know, we used to see, remember there was the, I think Dell did one, didn't they? And a couple of, I can't even remember. There was, Samsung did one as well, didn't they?
G1, yeah. The T-Mobile G1 was the first Android phone that had a physical keyboard. And after that, there was a few, like you say, the Milestone. There was the HTC.
Oh, the Milestone. I remember that one. That was Motorola, wasn't it?
Yeah, Motorola Milestone. Yeah. And there was a few back in the day, in the early days, but as we've all sort of gravitated towards non-keyboards. And so now it's up to small companies to be doing it because the big companies have realized it's not worth their time.
And so on a scale of 1 to 10 from a success rate here, what do you think?
It's tough to, I mean, it's hard to be optimistic about success. I mean, personally, I've always been a bit of a BlackBerry fan, so I do actually still like typing on a keyboard sometimes. I still bring out, I've got the Key 2 in my office that comes out every now and then when I want to go back to it. And so I think for the people that like them, I think it's going to be good. I hope it's going to be good, but then we don't really know anything about this manufacturer. So I'm not that optimistic, but it's still kind of exciting for anyone who's been a BlackBerry fan or is still a BlackBerry fan now.
And it means if you're a BlackBerry collector, I suppose you've now got, there's another one, you've got to start saving again. Your collection won't be complete come this time next year.
Exactly, yeah.
Still to come, Mike gives us his verdict on the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra smartphone.
Some of those things are solid ideas that kind of just become the norm and you don't really think and talk about it. I think the air gestures thing, I think it's a bit less likely to be the norm. I think the more that they focus on getting, you know, just great accuracy in terms of actual writing or you know, anything that makes it more functional is the thing that people are really going to want from it.
As the world moves to buying everything online, including clothes, making sure you get the right fit can be challenging at the best of times. While most people might be willing to buy a number of different sizes and then deal with the returns once they're done, one company has turned to technology to try and solve the problem. Aristocracy London is the first menswear brand in the UK to collaborate with the body measuring app Sizer to provide customers with a digital tailor experience and ensure that when they order your suit online, it fits. I started by asking founder Laz Teredikis to tell us how the collaboration with Sizer came about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, that, you know, tailoring has a long history in terms of, you know, creating and constructing a three-piece suit. So with regards to the whole thing, is that was the kind of the concept that we started our own business as well, I've got to say. I mean, for me personally, my background is I've spent, you know, over 10 years being a digital marketing director for large companies. And I also have a kind of a strong technical background as well. So when we started, when I decided to start this kind of business, was the idea of myself, you know, putting my creativity side and technical background that comes from my education and also my previous experience with my passion about suits and style. Right. And one of the main concerns with regards to that in terms of tailoring, and it's with regards to the clothes in general, I would say, because, you know, we see lots of people nowadays, you know, order stuff online. It was the size. So when we started this business adventure, we used lots of, you know, questionnaires and surveys out to people, you know, interviewing people about, you know, what are their main concerns, what they want to see. And one of the top things on the list that they came out was that people didn't really know what's the suit size. First of all, there were people who didn't really know they've never had a suit before, or there were lots of other people who thought that, you know, I mean, their size, especially for a three-piece suit, it varies from brand to brand because of fit, because of lots of different elements there. So that was one of the biggest concerns. And we, when we started that, we always have our kind of customer in mind. We want to make sure that we give this kind of luxury, personalized experience, but we do it in a kind of a more modern and easier way as well. Because, you know, as we said, tailoring has a long history and is a kind of a traditional technique. But we thought that, hold on, there is something here that we can do. We can apply some sort of technologies as well to make the whole journey much easier for the user.
And so that technology that you've created is the ability to photograph a user that's with their camera on their phone and then send the sizes back to you. So how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, with regards to that, we have been in process and searching, you know, for technologies that are available to be able to help us with that journey. So we had conversations with Sizer that we partnered with. What they do is they use... It's a technology company, and they build this kind of an application that uses the front camera of your mobile phone or a tablet. And what it does, it takes the whole process within 2 minutes. It just captures your body type, requests you do a 360 turn, and captures your body type. And based on that, it displays your measurements in terms of chest, waist, and lots of other different measurements you can have there. So, knowing that we have this kind of technology available, we had conversations with the Sizer team, and we wanted to build our own kind of formulas and algorithm in there, knowing that there is something that is working, to be able to provide this kind of suit size estimator for our clientele. So the whole journey started a few months ago when we started testing using the app and also testing lots of different body types just to ensure that, you know, the algorithms that we're going to put in place are going to be, you know, accurate a lot. So that's the whole thing. It's very simple process. People just download the app for free. They can just use a vase or something that they can place the mobile phone or tablet, as I said, and then the front camera captures the whole full, you know, the whole body.
And with more of us coming to, you know, turning to buying online, buying our clothes online through the lockdown and through, you know, the general situation that we're currently experiencing, how much do you think this has an opportunity to change the way that we shop online?
Oh, I mean, definitely there is lots of opportunity here. And I've got to say that since we went live with the app as well, we've seen a huge interest and we've seen lots of people ordering online and using the app. I think, you know, first of all, with regards to the pandemic situation, obviously this is a kind of a nice opportunity because nowadays people want to have this kind of, you know, shopping experience, but that, you know, they're a bit afraid of the social distancing and all of this kind of new regulations in place as well. I've got to say that, you know, with this app, that helped us a lot. First of all, for people who are looking to buy online, just to give them this kind of reassurance that this is your suit size from an Aristocracy London suit that you can buy. And based on that, you can be reassured that this is something that I can buy and will fit me well. Secondly, that helped us a lot with regards to our suit appointments as well. We do have our showroom that operates in Knightsbridge in London, and we do accept private appointments with our clients just to offer this kind of luxury personalized experience. Now, on top of that, and because of the current situation now, what we recommend and we suggest to our clients is to use the app before they come to the appointment so that we can get a better understanding of what's their suit size so that we can prepare all of the suits or anything that they would like to try on the day for them.
Right.
So that worked really, really well on this subject as well. And as I said, you know, since we launched the app, we've seen that, you know, that the amount of returns, because the main reason of the returns we were getting through the online orders was because of the size. Right. So there were lots of people who were returning the items because they wanted to go one size up or one size down, or because the size that they selected, they were not aware of. So with this app and using this moving forward, we've seen a huge decline in terms of returns because now people know exactly what's the suit size. Well, I'm not going to say that it's 100% accurate yet, but we've seen an over 90% accuracy based on this on the tests.
And do you think this would come to a point where it, and maybe it already is where it could replace a bespoke suit fitting? So, you know, rather than a kind of an affordable off-the-shelf approach, this is kind of a suit that perfectly fits me based on being able to, and you know, use artificial intelligence and stuff to analyze my body shape to be able to then give the size to you.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because it's part of our business model, I've got to say. We wanted to create luxury limited edition three-piece suits for someone who doesn't want to spend a fortune, and also they don't really want to spend multiple appointments and months of getting a suit done, right? And I think by using this application here and this technology, that helps a lot.
And where do you see the future of this going?
Well, I think that's the future, to be honest with you. I think, you know, it works really well. I mean, people, they can still have this kind of personalized luxury experience, booking an appointment and visiting the store. But I think it works really well because they can do everything at home. They just need to use their mobile phone in only 2 minutes, and they can take the measurements and they know exactly what size they should buy for. So that makes the whole kind of, you know, shopping experience much better.
Now, this is used for suits. Could you perceive it being used for everything from jeans to shorts to shirts to everything else? Or is it really only kind of suited towards, you know, a three-piece suit?
No, I think, you know, the whole technology actually covers all different garments that you can buy. In our case, because we do three-piece suits at the moment, we implemented and integrated our algorithm within their measurements just to display sizes for the suits. But moving forward, there is an opportunity that you can have also sizes for shirts or lots of other different clothing items.
And I presume this will help if there's a few of you for maybe a wedding or something. Or do you do further sort of group appointments on this sort of stuff? How's it helped on that?
Oh yeah, it does. It does help a lot. I mean, apart from the online experience where people can use the app and purchase online through our website, and also the fact that, you know, we can use the app for our suit appointments. There's a huge opportunity, and we have recently used the app for a few other projects that we run, especially with a few football clubs that we have a partnership with. So, for example, we are official formal partner with Leighton Orient at the moment, and this app helped us a lot to be able to get the measurements of the football players, the management team, and the board to be able to design and deliver the suit for the football club. And especially in cases like that, because we are talking about a large amount of suits, and it's very difficult to coordinate and get all of the people at the same time at the same place to be able to get the measurements, we were able to use the app. So each one of them, they can just download it, take the measurements, and send all of the measurements directly into our dashboard. And based on that, we were able to create and design the suits and apply the right sizes. And it worked really, really well.
Now, we've been talking about gentlemen's suits. I presume the system is able to work out for women's suits as well. Is that something that you have to change the algorithm considerably more to cope with that approach as well?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, the technology is there. The technology can scan all the different body types. The only add-on or addition on this, I would say, is that, you know, you need to implement your own kind of formulas of how those measurements from the body types will fit within your garment size guides. And this is something that would require some sort of experience as well, because, you know, from our side, when we started working with size, that we had experience with lots of different customers coming to our showroom, doing lots of different fittings, just to understand of how the size chart of the garment, of the jacket, for example, will fit with a specific size dimension of his chest, right? So that worked really well as well. But, you know, that requires a bit of, you know, integration, lots of testing as well, just to ensure that, you know, you make sure that you prepare something that is fully functional and also gives you the right results.
The Samsung Galaxy Note series is almost a decade old. Within that time frame, the stylus donning handset has brought forth plenty of new technologies, such as a curved screen and edge control. The result, the Note 20 Ultra, the 2020 flagship of Samsung's Galaxy Stable, was somewhat touted as just another Note, long before it even been unveiled, given the lack of any real killer features to lure new punters in. Well, it's finally here. We've been playing with it. And so is the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra, the ultimate flagship for those seeking a handset with an integrated stylus. Niche, we know, but still. Or is its apparent absence of any big new features ultimately, well, I mean, it's something you should pass on. Pocket Reviews editor Mike Lowe has been using the new smartphone and joins me to discuss whether it's any good. Mike, what do you like about it?
So you've kind of touched on the reason you'd want this phone in the first place. It is one of the only handsets really that you can buy that has a little stylus integrated into it. So you just press on the bottom and it pops out this little pen, and that integrates with notes. So you can take notes, you can doodle, you can do all kinds of things that control different apps. And, you know, it's great from that point of view, if that's what you want from a phone. And I kind of suspect there aren't that many people right now that will be desperate for that kind of control. And that's kind of, it's the thing that makes this phone great, because barely anything else offers that. But it's also the thing that makes it quite niche at the same time, because if you didn't need it, you may perhaps just go towards getting a S20 model instead, which comes without the stylus and has many of the same features otherwise.
And that's been one of the criticisms of the Note throughout its decade-long sort of career, is that sometimes it's very similar and almost identical to the Galaxy model that came 4 or 5 months before it. Is that the case here? Is there many sort of similarities between the S20 range, and therefore this is just with the stylus?
There's definitely similarities. I think, yeah, the lines are blurred, right? I think, so the top end of the S20, you get the Ultra model there as well, and that integrated a 108 megapixel camera. The Note 20 Ultra that I've got here does a similar thing. So it also has a 108 megapixel camera. In this case, it uses it as the main camera rather than the zoom. But you're kind of getting a lot of the stuff that comes at the top end of what Samsung offers in its Galaxy range. The boundaries between S and Note are definitely much, much closer. So really the dividing line is kind of much more down to the stylus and what you may or may not get from that, really.
And it sounds, although it sounds niche, is the experience nice? Does the stylus work? Is it a good thing to have?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, from my personal point of view, it's not something I need to use that often. Obviously, I've been reviewing it, so I've been trying to, you know, force some use out of it, do some little doodles and get it out and play around with some of the extra features it has. For me, like the standard stuff, like taking notes, is what really works. It's really good with its response time because the screen is like a super fast response. So it's very close to, not quite on paper, but, you know, it feels really good when you're writing on the screen in the same way that, say, an Apple Pencil would. Obviously, the stylus in this is way smaller. It's a much smaller little thing, but it's actually very comfortable to use. So for those kind of features, it works really nicely. They've added some, let's say, lesser used things. They call them air gestures. Samsung calls these air gestures, which is kind of, you take the little stylus out and wave it around like a wand, and you can get it to do different actions in the air.
I'm all of a sudden thinking like Harry Potter style.
Yeah, bit.
Sort of, I can't remember any of the spells. It's like Levioto, whatever. I can't remember. I'm not going to.
It feels a bit the same in this, because you might remember the action you meant to do. Say it's, you know, L shape in the sky or whatever. but the phone often just doesn't recognize the right motion. So I can see the idea. The idea is kind of solid, but I just can't see that anyone ever uses it. And I guess the main problem I have with that is it's almost pushed that kind of gimmicky feature to the forefront. And it's like, oh, you can do this, but it doesn't really work. When actually the real key thing to take away is, if you're going to use a stylus to take notes, it's brilliant at that, but it's got this kind of little gimmicky bit attached to the side of it.
But that sometimes feels like a typical Samsung thing, doesn't it? I remember a number of years ago, I can't even remember which Galaxy launch it was, where they had a feature where it tracked your eyes. And if you were watching a YouTube video and then you looked away, the YouTube video would stop. It would pause because it realized that you'd looked away at something else. And, you know, it was like, wow, that's an interesting, clever idea, but like nobody's going to use it. It's a complete gimmick. But here we are, a number of years later, still talking about it. Do you think it's one of those kind of features?
I don't know. The thing with the eyes, you know, actually quite a lot of phones do a similar thing now. They just don't shout about it as much, you know? Mm. So some of those things are solid ideas that kind of just become the norm and you don't really think and talk about it. I think the air gestures thing, I think it's a bit less likely to be the norm. I think the more that they focus on getting, you know, just great accuracy in terms of actual writing or you know, anything that makes it more functional is the thing that people are really going to want from it. And actually just more app functionality, which is something that Samsung is pushing for this year because there's a Microsoft partnership as well. So in the future, there'll be better integration with Microsoft OneNote, for example. And that's not something I've used yet because it's not quite here. But that kind of promise of expanding, you know, real practical programs that people are using, that's what the focus should be on because it really becomes a proper aid in what people want to do.
Now, beyond the stylus, which I know we've spent a bit of time now talking about, is it a good phone? Does it do everything you want it to do?
That's the thing. It's a premier flagship phone. It you know, it knows what it is and what it wants to do. It's got a top end processor in it. It's you know, got those massive cameras, which admittedly are a bit too massive. It protrudes an awful lot off the rear. And yeah, it's quite brilliant. That's the thing. I can't help but criticize it because it's kind of my job, but it's very expensive, and yet if you've got the money to buy one, it looks amazing. You know, it responds really fluidly. There's very little to criticize about it, ignoring the battery life, which is a little bit too limited, I believe. There's very few complaints. You know, the software runs really smoothly. There's nothing it's not going to handle. The main camera experience is pretty decent as well. So Samsung knows what it's doing. And you know, coming back to the original kind of pitch of this whole thing is, oh, it's just another Note. We've seen many and many of those. Yeah, sure, but it's got so much right over the years that it's kind of difficult to pick holes in it because it's just such a solid, decent device.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, pip pip.